Yes, Hashem. Okay, page Ayin Zayin. Seif Katan Chafei Bin the Indian Hanochas Tum Cholamoid. Okay, this we discussed. We discussed this a little bit here and there. Does a person wear tefillin on Chol Hamoid? So it's very interesting what he says. I was not aware of this until I learned this. The Kitzer Yesh Machlokes Apoyskin the Chiluk the Chilukei Minhagim. He's very tolerant. What? Page Ayin Zayin. Simen Yud. Simen Yud Sifkad in the Chafhei. Page Ayin Zayin. So the Kitzur says that there are different minhagim with regard to wearing tefillin chol hamoed. The chilukei minhagim yesh mekaymos she'oichazin kedas apayiskim she'loy lehanichan. There are those that take hold of the opinion that you should not wear tefillin chol hamoed. Chol hamoed is a yomtiv. Kalam vaze es hamoados ein loy chelik lo'olam haba. Serious business. It's not a small matter. Mivaze the mados chol hamoed is a yomtiv. It's not a day to make light of. The very least, when you dive in, even if a person can't maintain that high threshold, that treat the day with the full kedusha, people have to do what they have to do. You have to go to work, you have to loosen up a little bit. Not everyone is holding such hechra madregas. But at least when you dive in, hold out. Hold out for 45 minutes, an hour. The davening should be a yom tiftik davening. The davening is a yom tiftik davening, and you don't wear tefillin during davening. That's one approach. Ela, he says, look what he says, very interesting. So you do make a bracha. She'ein mevorchem aleihem b'kol rom b'beis hakneses k'mo b'shoy mos hashana. He says this idea that you don't make the bracha out loud. You make the bracha. Don't make any mistake about it. You're putting on tefillin, you're going to make a bracha. There's no such thing as putting on tefillin without making a bracha manavshach. It's all or nothing. You make the bracha, but don't make the bracha out loud. Such a concept. V'yesh noyhagin l'anicham b'loy brachos. Put on, but do not make a bracha. And then he writes over here very carefully in the parentheses. V'yesh l'lechav m'shim chol hamoed lav zman tefillin. Each nahiz make a kavana. Each nahiz have kavana. That if chol hamoed, those that do put on tefillin, whether you are making the bracha or not making the bracha, you shav kavana, that if it's not a zman tefillin, tiyena ki ritzuas ba'alma, that it should not be, it should be just, I'm putting on leather. I'm not putting it on l'shem mitzvah. It seems it's bal toisef. It seems bal toisef. Where do you find such a concept that if, like, you think it's Shabbos, right? Shabbos, it's not zman tefillin. Holidays, right? You don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. But if you put on the tefillin, so no, I'm putting on tefillin on Shabbos. So it's so terrible. Is it really so terrible? You're not going to tie tefillin on Shabbos? I wouldn't think so, right? It's not so terrible. Because we don't wear it, it becomes muksa.
Yeah. No, but to me, it's not something that you're going to do.
The Mishnah specifically allows for, if you find tefillin, and you're allowed to put it on,
wear it, derech levisha. You find in the street, you can wear it as a malbush. But you're not wearing it l'shem. You're not wearing it l'shem mitzvahs tefillin.
Right.
Okay, but he's saying something here that's very, very strange. I don't know the deeper meaning of this. That if chol hamoed is not a zman tefillin, it's not just a pshat that you're wearing tefillin on chol hamoed. You're not allowed to wear tefillin. Ad kedei kach that you should be kavkavana that I'm not wearing tefillin. I'm just wearing a leather cap. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. V'yesh loy lechavin she'in chol hamoed lav zman tefillin tiyeno ki ritzuos ba'alma, should be nothing more than leather straps on your body.
Yeah, right. And that undermines...
Because maybe it is zman tefillin. It is zman tefillin.
That undermines making a bracha on it.
Yeah, it does. That's what he presents. Three opinions. The Mishnah Brura only presents one opinion. Do not make a bracha. Right. Do not make a bracha. He doesn't present the opinion that you can make a bracha. The kids of Shulchan Aruch says there's a legitimate custom to make a bracha, but just don't make the bracha out loud. Okay?
Made out loud by accident.
Most of us don't do it anyway.
Okay, so you got no problem.
Is it made out? No, you're not allowed to. Because
it's a zilzol, no, because since if you're wearing tefillin chol hamoed, it's b'kaved rosh. It's like, I'm not really sure. That's what he seems to present. I'm wearing tefillin only misafik. Maybe yes, maybe not. Therefore, I'm not proud. I'm not going to make the bracha out loud. And even when I put on the tefillin, having kavana, that just in case there's no purpose of wearing tefillin today. I don't know if you can say that if you're making a bracha. If you're going to wear tefillin, you're not going to make a bracha. When you put on the tefillin, having kavana, that just in case today is a day when you're not wearing tefillin, then it should be kiritsuos ba'olma. It's just be ritsuos, just straps. Okay, I don't know. It's not clear. It's a very difficult concept. Yeah. No, l'chari, if the person can make the bracha, l'chari, you can say amen. If you allow to make the bracha, then l'chari, the person who hears the bracha, should recite amen. If you're making the bracha, you can answer amen. It just means that l'chatilu, you should not make the bracha out loud. I guess for yourself, to impress upon yourself that you're only putting on the tefillin mishum safik. And I guess not to make people answer amen if they don't need to, because it's only a safik. This is a halach by Rabbeinu Tam. Even if those who have the custom to put on tefillin chol hamoed and not make a bracha, you should not be mafsik between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, just like those that have the custom to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin and do not make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam, also should not be mafsik between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. The halach here is identical. A person wears Rabbeinu Tam during the week, and so he does not make a bracha on the tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam, but you're not allowed to have a conversation when you're putting on the tefillin between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Same thing, those that have the custom to wear a tefillin chol hamoed and not make a bracha. If you make a bracha, certainly you're not allowed to be mafsik. But even if you have the custom to not make a bracha, you should not be mafsik between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Ach, however, the leniency is that if you do your kaddish or you hear kedusha, normally when you make a bracha, you're not allowed to be mafsik. But here, since you're not making a bracha, here is the exception. You can answer for kaddish and kedusha. Ach, le kaddish le kedusha yafsik. V'tzich lizar, sham espalim besach netz echad. Here he says, this is his opinion, lo you ketzas manichim ketzas ein manichim, because of v'chein nira debezev vadai, he holds that it's clear, ikom yishum lo sis goydidu, you're not allowed to have groups, agudos, agudos. You're not allowed to have one group doing one thing, and another group doing nothing in the same room. Since a different opinion, this he holds violates the halacha. So basically, so we can review what he says over here in summary, there are three customs. There's a custom not to wear tefillin, period. There's a custom to wear tefillin and make a bracha, but make the bracha quietly. And then there is the custom to wear tefillin and not make a bracha. You do whatever your tradition is. And then he's of the opinion that in one day sakneses, there should not be people somewhere and some do not. This violates lois sis goydidu. Not every paisik agrees to this chiddush. There are definitely paisik that hold on number of my rebbe, you have kahana, zechet sak levracha from Tarvadas, a tremendous talmud chacham Tarvadas, a goyin shebegoinim, and he told me that he is pasha by him, that there's no isolois sis goydidu when it comes to being in one room wearing to have gudos agudos. Different, you see many shuls that some do and some don't. You go shop around, you'll find different customs. Yeah.
I've seen in some shuls where they segregate.
Yes, right. That's because of Shuchnach. Then you have to go to the back, go upstairs. As Noshem, they're not allowed, they follow this opinion, the Kitzur Shuchnach, lois sis goydidu. It's an isodereisa. He disagreed. He disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch. He was a very big poisek. He had different. He had Avkahanau. Avkahanau. He was nifter about 10 years ago. He was an elderly man. He must have been probably close to 90 when he was nifter. He was very close to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he.
The other question I would ask: how? To where did he wear the tefillin? What part?
So we had that. We learned that. We learned that before, and it depends on Chalamoed, the Baal Tzila, and the Tzibor, and the first day Pesach. The first day Pesach, the minig is to wear it until after Yulein, after Kriyas HaTorah. Because, number one, you're only saying Chatzi Halal. You're not saying Halal Sholem. So there's a problem wearing tefillin when you're saying
sukkah,
you take it off before hallow. You take it off before hallow because you're saying a full hallow, and because you're taking it off from a sizzle, full hallow, not only must the tzibur take it off, the shliach tzibur must take it off. The shatz also must remove his tefillin before he recites the hallel sholem, because since you're saying hallel sholem, it's a greater yomtiv. The yomtiv is a very interesting idea, that the chol hamoed of sukkahs is a greater Chol HaMoed than the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. We think Chol HaMoed is all the same. Oh, it's all one big deal. Chol HaMoed is Chol HaMoed. No. Chol HaMoed Sukkot is on a higher level than Chol HaMoed Pesach, because Chol HaMoed Sukkot, every single day we bring different korbanos and we say Hallel Shalem. Hallel Shalem, and that requires it requires the Shliach Tzibur to remove his tefillin before he begins the Hallel, which means the Olam is going to have to wait. And when someone has to wait for you 5 seconds, you ever drive a car and there's a red, it's a green light, and if you wait 1 second, you can hear someone honk behind you, right? People do not tolerate delay even for one moment by someone else. By yourself you can wait forever. For someone else, you're not going to wait 1 second. The whole Tzibur has to wait for the Shliach Tzibur to take off his tefillin before he begins Hallel Sholem. But in Chol HaMoed Pesach, where the Shliach Tzibur is only saying Chatzi Hallel, so the Tzibur takes off their tefillin during Chazaras HaShatz, but the Shatz remains with his tefillin on because of Tircha de Tzibura. And even though he's going to be reciting the tefillin halal with the tefillin, it's no worse than Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh, the shatz, everyone, the whole tzibur wears their tefillin when they're saying chatzi halal. The difference between Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed Pesach. Chol HaMoed Pesach, really the 3 days of Chol HaMoed, the last 3 days, the tzibur takes off the tefillin before halal. But in Rosh Chodesh, the tzibur wears their tefillin during Hallel. Chatzi Hallel. That's very interesting. Yeah. Difference. Why? Once he's saying Hallel, it's already a semi-yomtif. It's not. It's a different type of semi-yomtif Rosh Chodesh than Chol HaMoed
really,
Pesach.
Really, he's saying Hallel Sholem.
Yeah.
The reason you're not doing it is because on Shvi Shol Pesach, it's Masih Yodet probably Yom.
That's him, okay.
Hallel. So we don't want to make Chol HaMoed seem greater than Shvi Shol Pesach.
Aha, interesting.
So that's what...
But Chol HaMoed Sukkis, Rosh Chodesh.
That's what it says in all the Sfarim.
But Chol HaMoed, yeah, okay, it's very interesting.
Really, it's the same.
It's really a full fledged. It's a full fledged yom. We have to downgrade. We have to backtrack. Rosh Chodesh was never yomtiv. We never got it. We should have got it. We never had it. Three different types. Very interesting ideas. I want to clarify this point. Literally, walk away with one little yisod. Walk out of here, take one little yisod. There are three different types of chatzi, three different halals that are said during. Well, really more, but in this category, chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh, Chatzi Hallel on Pesach, and Hallel Sholem on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Hallel Sholem, everyone take off your tefillin, even the shatz, because Tircha D'Tzibura, and even Tircha D'Tzibura, it overrides Tircha D'Tzibura. Chatzi Hallel on Sukkot, the tzibur takes off the tefillin, it's a yomtiv, the shtickle yomtiv, take it off during Chazaras HaShatz, but not the shatz. Because the shatz can't take it off during Chazaras HaShatz, he's busy saying Chazaras HaShatz. Pesach, and Pesach. He's busy. So what do you want to do? You want to tell him take it off before he begins saying Hallel? The other one's going to have to wait 5 seconds. Tircha D'Tzibura. Rosh Chodesh? It's a shlach yomtiv. It's shlach. Keep your tefillin on. Don't take it off, yeah.
You have three choices.
Yeah. Someone, whatever your father did.
Someone comes to you, I'm a ger.
Yeah.
I'm a Baal Tshuva. My father, my second grandfather never had Philip. How do you...
So I've heard there of David Fayin, someone asked Mamish this question of David Fayin. He told him, do whatever they do in the shul that you daven. Where do you daven?
Go with the flow?
Yeah, where do you daven? Yes, this ger. Where are you planning to daven on Rosh Chodesh? Whatever the tzibur does, that's what you do. Whatever the rabbi of that shul does, that's what you do.
Whatever your guidance is, okay. You tell us what
it is in terms of... Unless you have a tradition, I come from this family, this is what we did. So then, I'd rather
the whole.
No, so then you follow your community.
Your family was not the way it's built.
Yeah, but once he abandons that and he had a guy,
his mom. Most Jews don't wear tefillin all night.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for this tefillin?
But who's tshuva?
Rabbi Hanna's answer.
Yeah.
So if you're a practical question, if you're a person who wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed and you have your yard site on Chol HaMoed, and Kehilla, most of them do not wear tefillin, according to Rav Kahana, you'd be allowed to leave the davening because
if I'm not mistaken, Rav Kahana meant to say was, if you come to a shul, they're doing it. We're the people, they're not thinking and they're not interested in this. They have other things on their mind. And half the people are wearing tefillin and half the people are not wearing tefillin. And you come to this shul and it bothers you. It bothers you because you, whatever, because you don't want to violate the halacha. Should you daven somewhere else? Should you take it so seriously to daven somewhere else? So he says, no, don't take it so seriously. It's okay, it's fine. But if you come to a shul and they have a very set minhag, and their minhag is that it should be separate, you have to follow the minhag hamakom. He's not coming to tell you to say that the whole world is wrong. He's coming to give mikra kula. That if people are doing what appears to be the wrong thing, it's not the wrong thing, it's okay, it's fine. But a shul where the custom is you don't wear tefillin, and you want to be the shliach tzibah person as yard site?
You have a mixed group, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Normally some would go segregated, they would not dive together.
Depends on the minhag.
It depends on the shul, it's either they're mixed or they're not mixed. The rabbi decides the policy, whatever the policy is, the rabbi says in this shul, there's no mixing. Anyone that wants to wear tefillin, out. Go daven in the lady, have a separate minion, or daven in the lady section. Or the other way around. This shall we wear a tefillin. Anyone that wants to now wear a tefillin should daven in the lady section, one way or the other. If that's how the rabbi decides, that's his preference, so that's what it is. You have to follow the rules. That's why you have a rabbi. That's why there's an authority. If a shul has no authority, becomes a zoo. We know that. So, but if the rabbi says no in this shul, this is...
direct them to a minion.
No, you can do that. You can probably do that, even though this is not for some. Okay.
Say it from experience.
Anyone? There are different opinions. Okay, this simple. Okay, so let's see on the bottom. Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel on the bottom. Yishum Lois is going to be Shavuos Bach Hachadoshes Kosaf Kach Beferish. He says Beferish is an Isra of Lois is going to do Tuva Behuda Behagos Marsham. Bechin Kosaf Beshalos Shavuos Hashem Eishem Moshe Beam Tshuva Ayin Sham Beishel Avram Lehagoyin Hakadosh Mi But. I don't know what that is. Kosav demi shenoig shalol aniach bol lemakom is yeshayla. You have a custom not to wear tefillin. Ubol lemakom shemanichin ein bezem yishum lois eskoydu di yeshlema shagufa inanaki. Oh, so he's saying very, very important. I thought I remember that if you cut that, it's not so terrible to dive in the place without tefillin. If everyone is wearing tefillin, right? And everyone's wearing tefillin. Your minig is not. I'm not wearing tefillin. I don't care. No matter what. Give me all the money in the world. I'm putting on tefillin. That's my opinion. Is there lois is going to do for me to daven in a minyan where everyone is wearing tefillin? The answer is no. That's not a problem. Because why are you not wearing tefillin? People will say because you're not feeling well. Your body is not clean. Your body is not clean. That's what he says. Ein anaki v'kevon sheyesh eize tam ein kanisar v'chein kosa b'shal tshuvas menuchas Moshe v'shal tshuvas levushim Mordechai avol hepoch. But the other way around, where the oilam, the mitzibur, does not wear tefillin, and you decide you will wear tefillin, that's the problem. So there's a very important yesod. There's no los is going to do not to wear tefillin. Because there's a time, everyone could associate the reason why he's not wearing tefillin is not because of a halachic reason, it's because ain't a gufanaki. Only problem is the other way around. Yeah.
I'm sorry to disturb you. Mohammed said that anyone who has coats hanging outside, he's washing the floor there now, so clean your coats.
Where? In the hallway?
In the hallway. Washing the hallway.
Not back here.
There's a parallel to this.
Erev Tisha B'Av, I think it is?
Yeah.
About fasting on Erev Tisha B'Av?
Yeah.
If the minute of Malkum is the fast and you don't, they'll say you must be
But no
sick.
One knows. No one knows if you're fasting or not.
No, but there's a distinct parallel to what you were just saying. I know...
So the idea of taking a food to the place you're going to in front of.
And if you... Yeah.
How does that...
They know. They see if you're not... No, they see if you're not fasting. You could, yeah, of course it, they see you. If somebody sees you eating, they assume... Because you're not from that area, and it's not your custom, and you come in, and you're there that day, and people will assume that... You're ill, and therefore you need to eat, or you're just too lazy to fast, and it's no big deal to violate the local custom because of that. It's very much parallel to what.
Okay, could be. It could be.
Or there's a precedent for what this is saying.
Okay, could be. Absolutely. But this is a very interesting idea. If someone could be toilet for another reason, there's no problem with lois kodu. So let's finish up chavav. This is very important. Halacha, how often must you have your tefillin checked? There are different opinions about this. Chavav, tefillin, shugzugu, bekashos, in adin, kolzman, shabayi, sholem, egam, aparchos, harayim, bechaskosim, ve'inusim, bedika. Me'ikar hadin, you don't have to ever check your tefillin. Me'ikar hadin. As long as you're using them. As long as you use them every single day. What?
That's right. It wasn't eating. It was working on Erev.
Working. Because then people are going to see that you're doing something different.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're not working, they'll say he doesn't have his buzz. Gemara.
So
it's a Gemara, right?
Yeah.
If you're working and you go against the Minig HaMadin, then that's what he's going to do. That's provocative. But if the Minig HaOlam is to work and you want not to work, you're allowed not to be shed, to be bottled, because people will say the reason why you're not working is because you don't feel well or because you just don't have work. Right. You're out of a job.
That's what it's better in my thought. That you own, and it finishes off. But if you do work, you won't below a similar problem.
If you do work, in the mockum where the minig is not to work. Okay, now we go to the laws of when, how often must one have his tefillin check? Tefillin shech zugu b'kashrus bin adin kolzman shabai sholem gam haparshios harehin b'cheskosim yikat v'chazaka ve'einon tzrichin b'dika. You do not need the b'dika mikol mockum nochon lebotkon. It's proper to check them. Ibnei shalipam sometimes miskalkulim and azeah sometimes miskalkulim to get through from azeah from sweat. And then einam anich moysim el lepokum. A person puts on tefillin once and occasionally. Back a pair, then al pi alocha tzrich medika beis palim b'chol sheva shanim twice in 7 years, every 3.5 years. Why 3.5 years? I do not know. I always wondered about that. There must be something much deeper, much significant. But twice, what's the significance? Twice in 7 years. Ki yesh locha shema nis apshu, they become moldy. Moldy, fine. V'chein im nikra habayis, certainly, let's say the bayis is ripped, there's sometimes a crack in the bayis, and there's a possibility that moisture, water, something got inside the tefillin. V'tzrichim gam aparshios bedika. If he was writing this in the 20th century, he would have written also, and if you leave your tefillin in the car, in the summer, on a hot day, and you come back and it's 200 degrees in the car, you have to get your tefillin checked. Because the ink of mamash melt all the way through. It's not so simple. Never, ever, ever leave your tefillin in a car. V'chein im nikra abayis tzrichim gam aparashios b'dika. V'chein im nashu b'mayim. Let's say they fall into water. They must be checked. V'kol makam im lo mishu mishu de l'batkam. Person, that's tefillin. And the tefillin me'ikar had, they need to be checked, but you don't have anyone available to check them. In ein loy misha yodel lebotkam v'lachso l'tofren, to re-sew them, to re-stitch them, yanichem kach b'loy bedika. So the best thing to do is leave it the way it is with b'loy bedika. Yanichem kach b'loy bedika. Shlo yispatel mi mitzvahs tefillin. Leave it the way it is without bedika. Shlo yispatel mi mitzvahs tefillin. Avlo yivorich aleihem. Very scary halacha. A person has any reason to assume that the parshios, that there's something wrong with the tefillin, he's not allowed to make a baracha. If he has nothing else what to wear, put them on in order that he should not be bottled from tefillin, but you have no right to make a baracha in a situation where there is a real reyes of the tefillin or kosher. I always wondered how far this goes when it comes to leaving tefillin in the car. Let's say a person leaves the tefillin in the car over Shabbos. Okay, not just fe. You leave the car on a hot August day over Shabbos, someone comes up the mountains, if you can't stay till out of the car, and the car is in the car, not in the trunk, in Mamish inside where the passengers sit, in the cabin. over the whole Shabbos, Friday night in the hot, in the sun, and it's over Shabbos. It's sucky, unbelievable. I'm sure you can tell a guy on Shabbos to open up the car. It's a hefsed maruba. You can tell a guy to open up the. But let's say a person forgot. You know, you have to get your tefillin checked. It's not so simple. Are you allowed to make a brach on those tefillin? L'chayr not. L'chayr, until you get them checked, you're not supposed to make a bracha, and you should use someone else's tefillin until you get them checked. Now, this is a very big debate. There's a very big debate today for different sides, and I read something very interesting recently. Our tefillin today are made with incredible new technology, an incredible hidurim. And there are definitely very heavy-duty poskim and sofrim that tell you, once you get your tefillin checked, well, when you're a bar mitzvah, don't get them checked. Getting them checked is going to ruin it. Because every time they wrap them so tight, and when you open them up, the letters can crack. So if they're good, and also they're very delicate. When you open up the bottom, every time you open up the bottom, you cause the leather to crack a little bit. Every time you get your tefillin checked, it's like a credit report. The more you check the credit, every time there's a check against your credit, that itself means you're a problematic person. Why are people trying to check your credit? Why don't they trust you? Just the fact that someone is checking your credit is a reyesa. And automatically your credit score can go down. Every time you check your tefillin, you are automatically causing the life of the tefillin to be decreased. So why do that? Don't ever get your tefillin checked. This is an opinion, this is an approach. There is seferim out there that will tell you, I'm giving you a pair of tefillin that's cost $2,000. We've checked it, it's been computer checked, it was meticulously checked, it's perfect. Don't check it. You're going to check it, they're going to cut it open, they're going to rip it open, especially if the server is not a professional, he's an amateur, he's not going to do a good job, you're going to ruin it. I've heard this.
That is to say, until such thing as Melissa, you left it.
Of course, a chas v'shalom, right. But as long as your tefillin are secure, you leave it in a very good place, you leave it in a shul, in the locker, and there's no humidity and everything is kadas v'chadin, you don't get it checked. Okay. Then there's Shulchan Aruch. People come along and tell you, it says in Shulchan Aruch, twice in 7 years. No sofer has the right to tell you what to do to go against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. This is an ongoing debate. I never really knew one way or another. I know my brother-in-law, he has a very good pair of tefillin, and this got him a very good sofer in Eretz Yisrael, and he brainwashed him not to get it. He made a very strong impression he should not get it checked for a very, very long period of time, because it's good, you're going to ruin it by getting it checked. I've heard this from other people as well. Recently came out a very good sefer called Inside Stam. It was advertised, marketed. It's an incredible sefer. I went over you some of the things we did Purim. We spent some time on it on the Aseres Nehamon. He has a chapter on the Megillah. It's called Inside Stam. I think a buyer's guide for tefillin, Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos. It is an incredible sefer. It's breathtaking. The sofer is a mumche. He's seen it all. He knows it all. He's seen it all. It's written in English. It's written very, on the top is English, and on the bottom there are very elaborate footnotes, marmukamos, and very in-depth explanations and insights into everything that relates to this idea of everything you need to know about buying tefillin, mezuzos, and sefer Torah, neviim, Megillah, and so on and so forth. It's good for the layman, and it's good for the Talmidei Chacham. It has everything there from beginning to end. He has a section discussing this exact issue. If you have a good pair of tefillin that were checked and they're kosher, should you get it checked twice in 7 years? And he presents both sides of the coin, and he comes out, he totally convinced me, yes, get them checked. He knows about this opinion, twice in 7 years, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. From his experience, it's kedai no matter what to get your tefillin checked twice in 7 years to follow the halacha. Because, first of all, there are many horror stories where they were never kosher to begin with. where the sulfur, even though today they're computer checked, but just because it's computer checked, there can be other things that are wrong. They can be put, the partials can be put in the wrong baton, the wrong compartments. The computer check just tells you that all the letters are there. It doesn't tell you for sure the letters are not touching each other. And sometimes due to humidity or due to age, the ink expands and the letters can touch each other over time. When you have them checked, everything is fine and good. But the ink can be thick. There's a thickness to the ink. And over time, the ink can, it's very, very close. It could expand somehow and the letters can connect. Or things can crack, or they were never put in the right partials. There are many horror stories, and it's always kedai to get your tefillin checked. And as far as the wear and tear, he feels that it's minimal. The wear and tear is very minimal relative to the benefit of getting it checked every twice in 7 years to make sure that everything is kedas u'chudin. So this is coming from a very, very big expert. Person that's seen it all. He wrote the book, literally. He wrote the book. If you ever go into a swarm, so you're not going to buy the book. It's just kedai to see the book, to get an appreciation of what the book is all about. You'll see the diagrams. You'll see the book. It's a heavy, thick, heavy book. It's called Inside Stam, A Buyer's Guide to Tefillin, Mezuzos, and Sifrei Torah. His maskana is, yes, get a check twice in 7 years. Okay, we're up to Hilchos Mezuzos. We'll stop here, Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow we'll start with Mezuzos.